we take questions. That will leave a little more time for questions and discussion at the end. Our next paper is presented by Dr. Salma Sharif Marco. Dr. Sharif Marco is a cancer prevention fellow in the same branch and program that Dr. Breen works in, the Health Services and Economics branch of the Applied Research Program in the National Cancer Institute. Her work focuses on contextual factors that affect that are related to segregation, socioeconomic inequalities, and other environmental factors that affect colorectal cancer screening. But she has also been spending a lot of her time and effort in developing a cross-culturally validated, multidimensional measure of racial and ethnic discrimination for use in surveys, general population surveys. And we have been very fortunate that her work has focused on CHIS and that we have been able to participate in this development effort. Dr. Sharif Marco.
Good afternoon, everyone. Still awake? Still eyes on the screen. All right. Well, it's a pleasure to be here this afternoon and to present the work that my collaborators and I have been doing on measuring self-reported racial ethnic discrimination in multicultural health surveys. There we go. I have no relationships to disclose regarding center disclosures. So this is a multi-year collaboration between the National Cancer Institute and UCLA's Center for Health Policy Research. And we've been charged by CHIS's Multicultural Technical Advisory Committee to improve the measures of racial ethnic discrimination for CHIS. So we hope that our research acknowledges a critical gap in the literature, which is that there currently is no concise, valid, and reliable measure for racial ethnic discrimination in the context of a population health survey that includes multicultural and multilingual populations. So today, I hope to focus on, or I will be focusing on, our field test. And the objective of our field test was to look at the two common but divergent approaches to asking about racial and ethnic discrimination. This slide presents the key steps that we use in our research, and it's highlighting, I hope for you, the mixed methods approach that includes both quantitative and qualitative survey methodologies. So our first benchmark was the field test that we conducted in 2007 within CHIS. And we used a review of the literature, cognitive interviews, psychometric analyses, as well as discussions with a panel of external advisors to inform both the design of our field test as well as our field test instrument. So for example, the literature review, the cognitive interviews, and the psychometric analyses the results were brought together to shape the instrument with respect to the items that we included in the instrument, the word phrasing, as well as the response categories that were included. Our discrimination module has multiple dimensions. We're measuring frequency of both recent and lifetime experiences of discrimination. We're asking our respondents whether these experiences were stressful and what their usual response to these experiences were. So as I mentioned, we're looking at two approaches to asking about racial and ethnic discrimination. The first approach, we ask generally about discrimination and then have some follow-up questions where the respondent gets to attribute the reason for the experiences. The second approach, we actually ask about discrimination and focus specifically on race and ethnicity as the attribution. And so you have two examples there where we ask generally first and then more specifically. So the key phrase there that differs across the two versions is in version B, we say because you are Latino or African American or Asian. For our analyses that I'll be presenting today, you'll see that we're using three comparison groups across the versions. And this is because our focus is on measuring racial ethnic discrimination. So the first comparison group will look broadly at reports of discrimination, regardless of the specific attribution that comes from version A. Then we have a second comparison group that's limited to version A respondents who attributed race or ethnicity as the reason for the discrimination experiences. And then the third comparison group is the survey attributed version B. So our field test included over 7,500 adult respondents from the California Health Interview Survey in 2007. And this table provides you with the distribution for the split sample by race and ethnicity. And as you can see, we actually were able to achieve a well-balanced design for the racial ethnic distribution. And those are highlighted in the colored columns. In addition, I don't have time to present each of the other tables, but we also looked at other sociodemographic characteristics, including age, gender, education, percent of federal poverty line, marital status, English proficiency, number of years in the U.S., as well as self-rated health, and found that the two arms were comparable on those characteristics as well. This slide presents the range of evaluation criteria we'll be using to assess how the two approaches performed in our field test. While I don't have time, again, to go through each of these criteria, I will focus today on concurrent and predictive validity. So concurrent validity we're using to look for differences between groups on a variety of sociodemographic factors, and then predictive validity we'll actually be using to see how the instruments perform with respect to predicting associations with health outcomes. I'll be focusing my results on recent experiences of discrimination, which we defined as experiences over the past 12 months. This slide shows you the 8 items that comprise the recent experiences of discrimination in our instrument. They include items such as, have you been treated with less respect? Have you been criticized for your accent or the way you speak? Or have you been threatened or harassed? So these are the first of the two slides I'll show you on concurrent validity. Here we're looking at any self-reported discrimination by version as well as by racial ethnic group. So on the y-axis, we show the percent of respondents who reported any recent discrimination. On the x-axis, we have racial ethnic groups, and then the bars are the comparison groups by version. The blue bars represent version A, with the darker bars representing the full sample from version A, and the lighter blue bar representing those respondents who attributed race or ethnicity. And so here you see variation by version and some variation by racial and ethnic group. But consistent across the racial ethnic group is that version A, you find the highest percentage of any discrimination, followed by version A racial ethnic attribution, and then followed by version B. In addition, I wanted to point out that regardless of the version, for African Americans, you see very similar rates of reports of any discrimination. And then among whites, you see that regardless of version, though the rates aren't similar, they're the lowest group within that subset. Again, we looked at other characteristics as well, and I'm not going to go chart by chart, but this table summarizes across the other characteristics that we looked at to see who was more likely to report discrimination. And what we saw was there was a lot of consistency across the versions for many of these characteristics. So, for example, with age, across the versions, younger respondents were more likely to report any discrimination. Similarly, those who are low income were more likely to report. Where we did see differences was with respect to gender as well as country of birth. And there were no differences with respect to version A racial or version B, but there was a difference. The males were more likely to report discrimination. And then with country of birth, there were no differences for version A. However, in version B, we saw that those who were born outside the U.S. were more likely to report discrimination. Okay, so now I'm going to switch over to my two slides on predictive validity. And here we're looking again at the association between discrimination and a series of health outcomes. I share four with you today. We have forest plots for each of the health outcomes that we're looking for, and the way you want to read these is the dot represents the point estimate for the odds ratio, the whiskers represent the 95% confidence interval. So if you see the whiskers crossing the 1, you know that that association is not statistically significant, so there's no difference in how it's associated with health by discrimination experiences. So what did we see? When we looked at discrimination and self-rated general health, we found that those who have increased discrimination are also going to be have decreased odds of reporting excellent, very good, or good health. So when we looked, and that was true for version A, regardless of whether we looked at the full sample or just limited it to those who reported racial ethnic attribution. When we looked at poor mental health, we found that those who had increased discrimination were at increased odds of reporting poor mental health. Again, this was true for version A. The association was not significant for version B. Then we looked at ever had blood pressure. Here we actually found an association in version B where those who had increased discrimination were at increased odds of reporting ever had blood pressure. This association didn't hold in either of the version A samples. In current smoker, we see associations for version A where those with increased discrimination were at increased odds of being a current smoker. This association was not seen for version B. So our summary for recent experiences of discrimination is that while we saw patterns for reporting discrimination consistent across versions for both race, ethnicity, and most sociodemographic characteristics, we saw more variation when we looked at associations with health outcomes. And again, these just summarize. With version A, we saw that the associations held for general health, mental health, and current smoker, but that blood pressure was only significant in version B. So this is just one piece, as I showed you in the evaluation criteria slide, of the analyses that we'll be doing to inform us on how both version A and version B performed in our field test. And so we'll continue to apply the evaluation criteria and understand better how these versions performed on these multiple dimensions that we're interested in. In addition, in the next year, we'll be doing a second field test, which will be in language. As you may know, CHIS is conducted in Spanish, Chinese, both Cantonese and Mandarin, Korean and Vietnamese, in addition to English. So we'll be doing a similar split sample field test in those languages in CHIS 2009, and then analyzing those data and choosing the best approach for CHIS for 2011, which will then be fielded for public release. So I will end with thanks to the session organizers, as well as acknowledge the many collaborators and supporters of our research.